Blog Talk Radio.
Big B, Moonshine Band, Suburban Records. Let's go!
I'm an outlaw, give me two shots. We don't need a radio, bring a jukebox. For my outlaws, bring me three shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. I'm a whiskey drinking SOB. If you don't like that, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw.
Hey, 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 everybody on Blog Talk Radio Land. Welcome to another DEF Conversations with John Dilley on the Grillion Ideas Radio Network. This is Grillion Ideas, and welcome back to our star of our show. Good evening, John. How are you?
Well, hello, dearest. Do you actually know what today is?
I have no clue. What is today?
It's National Chicken Wing Day.
Is it really? Well, that's appropriate for you. Congratulations.
I'll tell you what. I mean, things don't – I mean, I'm not used to things becoming kismet. You know, it just is.
Well, that's pretty cool. I have to say one thing before I turn you over to your show here. Did you see where your buddy, Lucky Dog Sauces, got his van today?
Oh, he did. I did not see that. I walked in from work not too long ago. So congratulations to him. That's awesome. I'll contact him.
Yes, he got his van. So congratulations to him, and
absolutely.
I guess you can thank everybody who helped him out. That's a cool deal. Anyway, I'm gonna let you go. I'm gonna go hide out in the corner if you need me, and have a great show.
Hey, I appreciate it. Well, a big shout out to the Moonshine Bandits for the music. Gotta love these guys. Pick up their stuff. But okay, let's get back to business here. Welcome back, everyone. Man, I'll tell you what, this summer is flying by. I can't believe we're rounding out July already. But anyway, we got a great show lined up for tonight with another enigmatic guest from the awesome world of Fiery Foods. Just a quick recap, like I do every week. The farmers markets are alive and well. Good crowd showed on Saturday at the Metuchen, New Jersey market. Actually had a guy show up who heard about us on the show. Kind of cool. He actually left with a very large bag. Kind of very cool. Anyway, Sunday, on the other hand, well, it was my first cancellation this year. Woke up on a Sunday morning, and it was raining, and it kept raining. And I contacted powers to be for the Chester, New Jersey market and told them I had a bow out. Wouldn't you know, it turned out to be a nice day. Yeah, well, that kind of sucked. So anyway, we'll be at the Allendale, New Jersey Farmers Market on Saturday, August 2nd, from about 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., and the Chester, New Jersey market on Sunday, August 3rd, from 10 to 3. So these markets have really caught on, and they're really starting to grow in vendor number. So, hey, stop on by and say hi. Gotta do a little mention of something a little special going on here within the hallowed walls of the DEF CON Sauces compound. We first started up DEF CON about in 2005 sometime. We released some very cool collectible issues, kind of almost annually. Each contained a certain little evil product, many known as DEF CON Zero. It's one of the only all-natural extracts on the market, crafted by yours truly, using absolutely no chemicals. It's pretty much unlike any of our other products, and it's stupidly incredibly hot. It's basically 10 pounds of orange habanero peppers turned into 0.87 ounces of the stuff we call DEF CON Zero. It's got quite the cult following over these many years. We haven't put out one of these Zero collectibles in about 4 or 5 years, so I figured, it's time. There are a few reasons for this. First off, Hurricane Sandy dealt a nasty blow to our lab setup. Secondly, we moved. And last but certainly not least is the fact that many people don't have all the disposable income they used to have. I felt bad putting out something our longtime customers would not be able to afford. I mean, some call it empathy. I kind of call it good business. Anyway, we've been working on a new release that should be ready sometime in the fall. The Zero takes about 8 months to make. We call each of these collectibles batches. The first release in 2005 was a batch one, and then a batch two, et cetera. And this will be the batch number six, and it will be completely different from all the other releases. On a side note, the DEF CON Zero itself will be different. You thought it was hot before. You just wait. And last but certainly not least, we got the 8th annual Duff's Brooklyn Thrash Bar Wing Fest in Brooklyn, New York, coming up in less than 3 weeks on Saturday, August 16th. Again, it's the most off-the-wall event we do all year. It's at the most iconic thrash metal bar in New York City, just right on Marcy Avenue in Williamsburg District of Brooklyn. We join us as we serve up 200 pounds of free DEF CON wings from about 9 p.m. to about 3 a.m. to the dark metal masses. For more to come about that, but in the meantime, go check out Duff's at duffsbrooklyn.com. Okay, as I stated before, the hot and spicy market is not just about hot sauces. There are an endless number of products out there that fall into the infernal realm of hot and spicy. If you ever go to one of these larger like hot sauce shows like Zest Fest in Texas or the New York City Hot Sauce Expo, you'll see an amazing array of all things spicy. Creativity is the machine that drives most of these vendors. I've noticed a rapidly increasing number of awesome yet completely unique products becoming available more and more on a steady basis. You may find some of these products available like little specialty and gourmet stores, but to be honest, some of the best products out there are not in the big-name stores. This is steadily changing as the American palate has become more curious and adventurous, and there's an increasing call for more non-mainstream products in the larger chain stores. Think about it. 20 years ago, there was one flavor of Tabasco, one type of Doritos. Within the last few years, now you got like 8 different Tabascos and a constantly changing number of Dorito flavors, many of which are on the higher end of the spectrum when it comes to hot and spicy. I personally love this trend. I mean, honestly, it's our job, the small business spicy product manufacturers, to keep the public happy with uniqueness and at the same time keeping the ginormous conglomerate food companies on their respective toes. In the last 6 or 7 years, I've seen this happening. It just goes to show, us little guys, we're making a difference. But anyway, now for the lead-in, this is where our guest comes to the surface. Her name is Adrienne Negrini, and her and her husband, Neil, own and operate Silverleaf International. They have a ton of completely different product types and are part of a gastronomical quest, an odyssey, if you will, in the constant search for new flavors and ideas to boldly go where no company has gone before. Sorry, got carried away. Adrienne, welcome aboard, darling.
Thank you. Hopefully I can keep up the adventure into far lands beyond.
Oh, come on. You're a pip. I've known you for a while. You're nuts, just like me. It'll work out well. Don't just trust me. It'll be painless, I promise. I've known you guys for a while. You guys have some of the most diverse product lines out there. I mean, I've had a few of them at the different shows we've kind of done together. I mean, you guys got from oils to garlic to salsa, all dry stuff. You guys are all over the map. I love it. But I have, as usual, a couple of questions. And as I ask everybody who comes on here, the first question is, what got you into this type of industry? It takes a certain kind of a person.
Wow. It's a funny question because it goes so far back for both my husband and I both. I have wanted to be a chef for as long as I can remember. My first memory of cooking is at 3. And
nice.
I just have always loved it, and I grew up with my grandma in the kitchen and helping her cook and put up canned goods and such. And so, you know, I've been around it, and I've been around the grocery industry. My grandmother worked in the grocery industry. My aunt and uncle ran a grocery store.
My dad.
So, you know, it's just been in my blood forever. And my husband the same way. He started working at a grocery store at 12, racking the bottles and sweeping and such. And so both of us, you know, ended up in the grocery industry. And we love food. Both of us wanted to be chefs, and we met in the grocery world, and it was just exciting to watch all these neat products and learn about foods from all over the world and traveling all over the world. And finally it got to the point where we're looking at all these products on the shelf, and we're like, we can do that. We make great food.
I love it.
We can do this. And we helped so many people they'd come in with this little product. Oh, this was my grandmother's best recipe, and I'm packing it, and it's like the most hideous labels, and the product tasted so-so. And we're like, we can do it better. And so we did. We took the giant leap about 7 years ago, and Neil quit his job at the grocery retailer that he worked at, and we did it. We made the jump and started our company. And it was a scary day, I have to tell you.
And it is. I mean, everybody's got that launch moment when they start up a new something that they're not quite sure. They know there'll be a good fit in it, but how do you fit first? You know, it's kind of. But you don't put one toe in the water because the water is always going to be cold. You got to dive in head first, and it takes a certain kind of a person to do that. And you're right. You're absolutely right. Now, let's see. Now, you guys are based out of what? You're based out of Texas.
Yes, we're based just outside of Houston, Texas.
Fantastic. And you said you started about how long ago did the company form up?
To what we are today is 7 years ago when Neil quit his job and we made this, you know, our life, our family business.
Wow, so. That's really cool. And you guys are doing gangbusters. It's kind of cool when things start working your way. I mean, when you first started out, I imagine it was a little slow. I mean, how'd you guys do? Did you guys just go ground pounding like I did, just going from, you know, store to store to store, hoping for the best?
Absolutely. You know, you work these little farmers markets, you work these little junior league shows and little craftsy shows trying to sell stuff, and you go around from store to store kind of knocking on doors. The good news was that Neil had come out of the grocery industry and I had come out of food manufacturing, so we kind of knew some aspects of the business already, how things worked how labeling worked and certain laws. We knew that. But it was, yeah, the problem is Neil came out of the grocery world, so he had met so many of those people knocking on his door. Now we have to go do it. How do we do it right and
exactly.
not frustrate the retailers and make them excited about it? So we did. We drove around to the local Whole Foods. We drove around to some of the unique boutique stores that are in town and just kept spreading throughout the state. We did a website.
Yep.
That was a huge thing, is getting a website up so you looked like a legit business. You had
to have
this look, and that was a huge part. And, you know, it was baby steps. But we did, like you said, you jump in. You can't just do it little bitty. You got to say, I'm doing it, and make the commitment and jump out there.
Exactly. Now, I mean, do you guys pack your own stuff, or do you have somebody do it? I mean, how does all that work?
We have somebody do it for us, so it's our recipes, and we source our ingredients. It's our recipes. We have to, you know, we have a designer that we work with that designs our labels.
Okay.
So we do all the components to it, but we work with an actual packer here in Houston to pack
the
product. So it is local. We're making sure we're getting the best quality produce, because, you know, one of our items is salsa, and it is fresh tomatoes and fresh garlics, and we wanted the quality of the ingredients. It had to be top-notch. So that was a big part for us, too, is doing all that sourcing and making sure we're getting the ingredients that we want. But we have a wonderful packer. Now,
well,
the dream is
to
obviously open our own. We'd like to pack our own at some point.
Well, I'll tell you. Well, that's a whole other step to itself. We haven't taken that step. I mean, that's huge. That's kind of like, okay, I'm giving up the rest of everything, and I'm going to start making my own stuff. I can see maybe us happening to us, like, you know, in sometime down in the foreseeable future. Well, maybe even unforeseeable future. But I mean, I can see us doing our own thing. It does cut down the cost a little bit, but it's a big step. I mean, that's a lot of cash to be putting out, because you're opening up a factory is what you're doing, and it's just that's a total amount of time consumer. But I do have a question I'd ask everybody on here, and this is kind of a flip, because normally we have guys on the show. Well, be honest, who runs the company, you or Neil? Hello.
Hi, I'm here.
Oh, okay. That was weird. Who runs the company? You
I'm
or
here,
Neil?
I'm here. I forgot to pay the electric bill. I'm sorry.
So Neil runs the company then, right?
Obviously, I'm not paying the bill.
Oh, that's fine. But I mean, who has a bigger hand in it? You or Neil?
We each have a hand, because we each have parts that we're better at, and we kind of accepted that, but the day-to-day operations and really the person behind so much of the recipe formulation and the getting the ingredients and doing all that sourcing and getting the product packed is Neil, absolutely, hands down. I'm the sales and the bubbly side. I'm the website. I'm the, you know, the sales material. That's me. Who
You're the kook at the show.
That product? Yeah, exactly. Neil's the man behind the curtain. He makes everything happen.
Okay. Now I do have a question. Now you had mentioned earlier you started cooking at like the age of three. Were either you or Neil, did you ever have like any professional food cooking lessons kind of things, or were you kind of one of these like Epicurean alchemist people that kind of go into the kitchen and start throwing stuff together?
Well, it started out as that, you know, just being somebody having fun in the kitchen and buying cookbooks, and then being bored with cookbooks, so taking little things you like and making your own.
Right.
We're both very much that way. But since getting older, I mean, I've taken a few classes, not as many as I'd like to take more. I love them. I really enjoy being in that teaching atmosphere and learning more and more techniques and how to blend flavors even more than what I do now. I love learning the chemistry of food. So it's fun. So when I can fit them in, I like to take them, and Neil as well. I mean, we're both avid cooks, and the kids cook too. It's a family affair.
Well, that's good. No, that, yeah, see, that's that. I was brought up, you know, basically watching basically mom and grandma in the kitchen. That's kind of how I learned how to be. Food can be really boring unless you have, if you have any kind of like inspiration behind it or creativity, you're going to come up with stuff. I mean, so all your stuff's not going to be great, but the more you learn, the more, the less things that are bad, that kind of thing, if that makes any sense. But the
absolutely, I'm throwing away meals.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
I cooked things now, and I mean, they've been bad, and we've pulled out the frozen pizza. You know, it's like, oh, frozen pizza.
Yeah, well, and when things go bad, they usually go very bad. I mean, the stuff tastes like sweaty roadkill that's been put on a grill. But, I mean, hey, what are you going to do? Now, I mean, who comes up with the product ideas? Would that be both of you again?
It would be both of us again.
Okay.
You know, there's certain products that I've worked on and loved. I've done less. Neil's really been, I think, more the creative genius behind a lot of. I tend to be the recipe person. So once he comes up with an idea, like the mustard, he really wanted
right.
mustard. And he tried, oh, my gosh, I must have tried 35 different recipes of mustard. I didn't want to see mustard again. He was just, he had to have it just right. And
sure.
I was mustard out. Well, then he finally got it just the way he wanted it, and I liked it, and it was ready to go. Well, then he needs recipes. So that's where I come in on most of it. And I'm like, okay,
gotcha.
Let's make dressing. Let's make marinade. Let's make deviled eggs. Let's make, you know, whatever it is. And
sure,
that's
sure.
my side of it.
Okay, now,
it,
yeah, let's, I mean, now we're talking about mustards. I think it'd be time to start talking about some of your awesome products.
Sure. What do you want to talk
okay.
about first? We got a
let's
variety.
Start. yeah, you do. I mean, you guys are in you're in so many different directions. That's what I like about it. It's so cool. The first look at the bread and butter garlic. That peaked for me. I'm looking at it like, ooh, that just sounds good. Yeah, you got a whole bunch
one
of different
kinds. One of my favorite
kinds.
Items.
And what we go talk about it? I mean, what's with the bread and butter garlic stuff? That looks awesome, and it must be awesome.
Well, you know, we wanted to take. Kind of, you know, is a product we grew up around and tasted and liked, but we wanted to take it further than just a plain bread and butter pickle. We took it to bread and butter garlic. And then taking it
right.
from just the plain flavor of that, we wanted to have fun with it. And that's where we started getting into the peppers. Oh, let's try a little bit of heat with jalapeno. Well, that's good, but it could be better. Let's go with habanero. And then one that actually happened by accident was the bread and butter chipotle. It was actually a marinated chipotle item. And accidentally, the chipotles got put into the bread and butter batch and turned out to be my absolutely most favorite garlic that we make. If I open a jar, it's gone. I eat the whole thing.
It's called a eureka moment.
Yes. Oh, let me have this. Yeah. And then we just kept getting more and more fun with the hot peppers, but also they're
right.
fun because you don't just eat them as an hors d'oeuvre or relish item. You chop them up and put them in your salads and your sandwiches, make chicken salad with them, put them in soups and stews. And it just started, you know, we just started having a blast with them. And the flavor,
right.
you know, most people freak out with the word garlic. Oh, but you don't get garlic breath because it's been pickled. And
right.
you don't get the sharp burn that fresh garlic has because of the pickling process. And
right.
yet you still get a beautiful crunch. So it's really a fun item. And people get scared. They walk up to the booth and they see, oh, my gosh, you know, here's 10 garlic items. Oh, I'm going to run away. And then once they try it, they're like, wow, this is so not what I expected. And they
right,
fall
right,
in
right.
Love.
Well, I'll tell you,
so
we, me and Maggie. Me and Maggie go to the fancy food show every year, and I'll tell you something. There's a couple of people that have the marinated garlic, and I find myself parked in front of the booth for a while. You know, just a toothpick in each hand, just going ravaging the bowl that they have out there, and they look at me weird. It's like, hey, it's free, right?
Exactly.
But
now
the ghost pepper one. Now that would sound like it would be way over the top hot. But I imagine you didn't want it that way because you probably wouldn't sell as much if it was too off the charts.
Absolutely. You know, I think peppers are wonderful. There's so many different varieties, so many different flavors, different countries. And you want to show off that pepper. I don't want to insult the hot sauce world, but anybody can make something super, super hot. The question is, can you make it hot and yet still taste fantastic and still taste the pepper?
Right.
And that's what we did with that. So we took the heat level. Now, I have to tell a story on Neil. So Neil was working on this product, and he brought the first batches home. He sat them on the counter, and I think he had two or three different ones sitting out there. And he says, oh, I brought the test batches home. I want you to try them. Well, I didn't hear him say, wait till I tell you what to eat first. I just started popping them and eating them. And I'm just sucking them down. And the next thing I know, it's my eyes are as big as saucers, and a panic comes over my face, and I feel steam's coming out of my ears, and I run straight to the fridge, grab the gallon of milk, and just start chugging it from the refrigerator. I swear I had blisters on my tongue for 2 days. And he's like, I was going to tell you to start the other side first and then go up to the hottest. So needless to say, we didn't go with that number batch because it was so unbelievably hot that you couldn't even taste the beauty of the garlic. So we finally, you know, we work always with the peppers to have the base flavor there and then keep building the level until the two match very well.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, because, you know, I mean, it's nice to be able to taste your food, too. I mean, yeah, there's a lot. I love hot. You love hot. A lot of people like hot. But, I mean, there comes a point where, you know, I'm not eating hot just for the sake of eating hot. I'm eating hot to accentuate what I'm putting it on. I think that gets lost in translation a lot when you just dump a whole bunch of extract on something and expect to have fun. I just don't understand the whole mindset. But the next one up is one you guys are quite known for, and I think you win your most of awards with this, would be the salsa.
Absolutely. We do a variety. We start for the medium. We're in Texas. We don't do mild. So we start with the medium, which is a jalapeno level, and then we move up to the next one, which is about twice the jalapeno heat. And we move up to a habanero with the fiery, and then we hit the ghost. And we do both a traditional red and we do a verde or a green, which is made with tomatillos.
Yep.
It's a traditional Mexican style. And then
Sure. Now
we've just added at the New York Expo, Hot Sauce Expo, we added our new scorpion. And But what's unique about our salsas is ours are what we call a restaurant-style salsa. So we're taking fresh tomatoes, we roast them. So you get that wonderful little black flakiness on them. You get a fresh garlic, onion, cilantro. So it's really a neat, fresh taste. It's not like a canned tomato or tomato sauce. It's not like the paste picante you're going to find in a grocery store.
You're always
going to have that freshness to it. So it's beautiful. You open it up, you smell the garlic, you see huge chunks, you see pieces of cilantro floating. So it's a wonderful, wonderful flavor. And every single salsa has that beautiful flavor, and then the heat kicks in depending on the pepper. We were saying the scorpion's the newest one, and you get a beautiful fruitiness from the scorpion, and then, bam, that scorpion heat hits you.
But so, the scorpion's I find the scorpion is easy to work with. It actually tastes good. It's almost like a citrusy – it's hard to explain. Scorpion's got a taste to it. You don't need much of it to get that taste.
No, you don't need a lot. A little bit goes a long ways, I've discovered. But yes,
I
love the Caribbean flavor, that citrusy, tropical kind of flavor that it offers. And then the ghost pepper is what we're most well known for. And I have to say, Buchalotia ghost pepper is one of my most favorite peppers because it's a sneaky little booger. You know, you eat it and you're chowing down on the salsa and you're on the fifth chip, sixth chip, it's going just fine. And then, bam, that sucker just hits you. And I love it, too, because, again, being the sneaky little thing it is, you suddenly feel hot about mid-chest all the way up. You're no longer cold. You're warm all over. It's not just hot in your mouth or belly. Your whole body heats up with that thing, and I just love it. See, I get excited about food.
I'll tell you what. Oh my God! But the salsas, though, you've taken a number of awards with that stuff, too. I mean, that I know.
We've won the New York Hot Sauce Expo. We took first place with the ghost pepper there. We've taken the SCOBY. We've won a Golden Chili. So we've been doing exceptionally well with ghost pepper.
that's awesome.
I'm
really
proud.
Awesome.
I have to brag on that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, bragging rights, obviously. You won the trifecta.
I'm speechless.
No, but I mean, I'm loving the fact that you're winning the awards with the ghost pepper, because that a salsa for one in competition is not an easy one to win, because there's a ton of salsas out there.
Absolutely, and everybody has a different style and variety, and there's a lot out there. And I didn't want to get in the salsa business. It was not what Neil and I had intended to do by any means. Kind of fell into it by accident and ended up loving it, and it's obviously growing.
Oh yeah, you're too funny. All right, now the next up, which I'm intrigued by, because I use my own infused versions of this myself, is the olive oil. you got a whole bunch of different kinds of that too. I loved infused oils. I use them on a lot. It's almost like I make a lot of compound butters as well. I love infused oils. They lend a unique taste to whatever you're infusing it with altogether. And you guys seem to have mastered it.
It's fun because, you know, here's a way to have great flavor, but without having to use a lot of things or add a lot of spices. It's also a great way to add a lot of flavor to something and not have a ton of calories, actually.
Right.
So, you know, we make marinades, we make salad dressings, we make I love to finish my soup. I'm a huge soup person, avocado soup, gazpacho, you name it. Love to finish my soups with a little bit of a flavored oil, whether it's a basil or the ghost pepper. Right now, summertime here, I always have gazpacho in the refrigerator, and I always top it with ghost pepper just to give it that wonderful little zing to
it. Yeah, absolutely.
And the garlic's great, too. I mean, you know, not everybody wants something hot, so we offer wonderful other flavors. And like I said, bread dips, meat marinades. I love it on chicken and shrimp. It just gives enough flavor.
Yeah, and the ghost, like you said, you don't need much of it. I mean, a little dab will do you when it comes to an infused oil, because an infused oil really does bring out the hot inside of a pepper.
Well, and the beauty is if you want more heat, though, you shake the bubble. Promise you it's going to be hot. If you want to let you kind of let it settle a little, and I've definitely made those mistakes of a little too much in a few recipes.
Well, it's very scientific, though.
Exactly.
coming on down, we got mustard, and you said you're talking about the 35 kinds of mustard. Well, you seem to have mastered two of them. You have a garlic and a ghost pepper. I mean, here comes the ghost again. Man, it's like a zombie movie, a whole bunch of ghosts.
I love ghosts. I love playing with ghosts, and anything I can put ghosts in, I probably will, just because I love that flavor and the sneakiness. And again, it doesn't have to be so hot that you can't enjoy it. You want enough heat in there that it brings out the flavors of things.
Yep, absolutely.
And mustard is so hot on its own, a whole grain mustard, not a French's, we're not talking a yellow mustard, but a whole grain mustard has
right.
an intensity to it already.
And it does. I mean, it's just full of great oils. Yep.
Yes, absolutely. And Neil loves mustard. I mean, he always has a variety of mustards in the refrigerator, and so we had a lot of fun playing. 35 test batches was a lot, but playing with them and finding the right consistency, and I love the way the whole grains pop in your mouth. You know, you bite into it and then get that little burn from it and a little tingle in the mouth, and it's been fun. I've really had a great time. That is one of our newest products, so I've had a great time with recipes. I've just anything and everything I can put mustard in, I have been.
Sure.
Although
and then
a good brats will always do well for me with mustard.
Oh. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what's a brat without it? But now we move down to something a little different. We've got some dry stuff on the horizon here. We've got a few of them. What's with the dry stuff?
Well, you know, we're in Texas, and we do a lot of smoking and meat rubs and things down here. So we wanted something for our own use. We really wanted to have that everyday all-purpose seasoning. And being the garlic people we are, obviously pickled garlic and garlic salsas and everything is garlic involved with us, we wanted some seasonings that were heavy in the garlic. So it was a way for us to have our all-purpose seasoning. Additionally, having one without salt, we have a lot of customers that have asked us to do low-sodium items, so we have a no-salt version. And the garlic sprinkles have been great. You can use them on anything, you know, from your bread dipping to your meat to salads to dressings. I eat it on my cottage cheese. My youngest loves it on her fresh mozzarella. It's one of her favorite things. So we do a lot. And then, like I said, I'm into smoking these days. It's one of my new things. And I use it as the base in so many of my meat rubs that I mix together and rub on the meats.
Sure.
So
I've
had a blast with the dried. And there's more on the horizon always. I mean, we've always got something going on in the kitchen.
Oh, absolutely. Now what's the I see there's a one called a Mediterranean Magic.
So we wanted to do, again, we don't want to do everything hot and spicy or the intensity of the garlic. And the Mediterranean is a beautiful, fragrant style. It almost has a bit of the Herbes de Provence style. It has a lot of Greek oregano. It has the marjoram in it. It has the paprika. And it is fantastic with pork, chicken, type items. That's my favorite. I love it on a pork, rub it all over there, and then sear it, throw it in the oven or throw it out on the grill. And so it gives that wonderful Mediterranean, Italian, Greek kind of flavor to anything you add it to.
Sure.
That is
sure.
one of my favorites. That was probably usually the most empty in my cabinet.
Too
That's
funny.
Kneeling.
Oh, wait. I hear music. Oh, man.
That time already.
Wow, look at that, man. I'll tell you what, a half hour goes quick. I guess how about a part two there, darling?
Anytime.
Okay, hey, sorry for being so quick on this, but like I said, the time flies when you're having fun. Well, there goes the music. I guess we got to kind of wrap it up. I'd like to thank Adrian McQueenie from Silverleaf International for joining us this evening. If you want to see the epitome of gastronomic diversity, go check out their site, www.silverleafinternational.com, and order up. You'll be glad you did. This is John Dilley, president of DEFCON Sauces, purveyors of the finest wing sauces, habanero, horseradishes, and dry rubs, bidding everyone a good night. Check out our stuff at www.defconsauces.com. So, until next week, when we bring forward yet another twisted and slightly unstable celebrity from the worlds of hot sauce, barbecue, and chili, same bat time, same bat channel. Have a good night, everybody. The time goes quick.
Fuck, you must be mistaken. B.I.G. Capital B. The rest is history. Outlaw motherfucker. Double whiskey drinking S.O.B. If you don't like that, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw. Give me two shots, we don't need a radio, bring a jukebox for my outlaws. Bring me three shots, we can raise hell before the speed stops for my outlaws.
Just when you thought radio was safe, a new kind of radio is on its way. Food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Coming in 2014.